I want to do a scripture reading with you tonight, and the reading is found in the Gospel of Mark, and it's a very interesting story. We're preaching a few messages out of Mark just on Sunday night, and it's Mark chapter 5, and we'll read verse 1 through to 20. Mark 5 and verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And all was night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thy Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Neither were there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city, and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus, and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had the legion sitting, and clothed, and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he had come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious truth. Now, I'm sure you've read this passage and this story that we have been reading just a few moments ago. And of course, you'll find that it's recorded in three of the four Gospels, in Matthew, in Mark, and in Luke. And we find that it took place when Christ and his disciples landed on the other side of the lake, having encountered a great storm. You remember that he told them to get into a little boat and to go to the other side, and as they sailed, he fell asleep, and a storm came, and now the boat was in jeopardy, it says in one of the Gospels. And they came to him and woke him out of his sleep and said, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose up and commanded the waves to lie down and the wind to cease. And there on that lake, he performed one of his mighty miracles, and we see him as God manifest in flesh because only God could have control of the elements of nature as he did then. And when they came to the other side, we read here that in Matthew's gospel, Matthew records in his gospel that there met him two demoniacs, one of which it seemed was more vocal than the other. Now, in the days of Christ, there was quite a lot of demonic activity. The devil was at work. There's no question about that. And as you read through the Gospels, you see demon possession. You see evil spirits. You see dumb spirits. You remember in Luke chapter 8, we read of Mary Magdalene, that lovely character, that lovely lady that we read about, who was so in love and so faithful to the Savior, and yet in her early days, it tells us that out of which went seven devils. My, there were seven demons who had taken possession of this young woman before she came to the Lord. Remember, we read in Mark's Gospel about the young boy who was possessed with a dumb spirit, and his father brought him to Jesus, and he says, you know, sometimes it casts them into the river and sometimes it casts them into the fire. And when it cast him into the river, he was never drowned. And when it cast him into the fire, he was never burned. Why? Because he was demon possessed. A dumb spirit had taken possession of him. Remember, we read of Satan entering into Judas. And so in the days of our Lord, when Jesus walked this scene of time, there was much demonic activity. You know, today we hear missionary stories. Missionaries who have been in tribes where the witch doctor has been active, and they have seen things that has happened which were beyond natural. They have seen things which have taken place which have shown them that the devil was at work, where he was able by his power to do things. I heard a story of a man who shut himself away for weeks until he was absolutely persuaded that he was possessed with the devil. He was a devil worshipper, and he shut himself away until he was absolutely persuaded that he was possessed of the devil, and they lit a fire in the middle of the camp, and he ran out of the tent like a mad thing and rolled about the fire, and there wasn't one blister on him. Not one blister. We underestimate at times Satan's power. Many believe that demon possession is becoming even more relevant in our modern day society. In today's world, we see terrible things. See terrible things happening. People doing terrible things. Awful crimes being committed. People being killed for no reason at all. You couldn't watch a film now on the television. There's so many explicit sex scenes. So much filthy language, abhorrent, really filthy. My dear friends, it shows us that Satan is a mighty foe, and Satan is an active foe. In this story, we see a man who was under Satan's control. He was under Satan's power. He was living in Satan's domain. He was in the mountains and in the tombs. That's where he was living. He was living in the tombs, amongst the cemetery, amongst the dead bodies. He was living in the kingdom of death. We need to remember tonight that, you know, in the spiritual world, there are two kingdoms. There's the kingdom of darkness. That's Satan's domain. And then there's the kingdom of God's dear Son. And that's the kingdom that believers are in. My, we were all born into the kingdom of darkness. That's where we began. The little babies in the cot. People looks at the little baby in the cot and it looks so lovely, so harmless and all the rest of it. The fact of the matter is this, friends, when it was born, the day it was born into the kingdom of darkness. Into Satan's domain. But you know, there came a day when I was born again. And the moment I was born again and give my heart to Jesus, I was translated into the kingdom, another kingdom, only this time it's the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so there's two kingdoms. And I trust tonight that you're in the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know, as we look at this story, we see a man here, and there's three different forces at work, each of them trying to influence this man's life. First of all, there's Satan. He's trying to influence his life. And then we see society. Society is trying to influence his life. And then we see the Savior. And he came to great length to influence this man's life. We see Satan. Satan was seeking to destroy him. Society was trying to discipline him. But the Savior, he came to deliver him. I want to think first of all about the influence Satan was seeking to have upon his life. You know, as we look at the picture that Mark paints for us here of this man in Mark chapter 5, we see that he was domineered by the devil. Domineered by the devil. Satan had taken him over. My, what is thy name? He was asked. And he answered, Legion, for we are many. I'm told that a Roman legion, there was about 6,000 men in a Roman legion, in the Roman army. And my dear friends, think that there was a legion of demons had taken possession of this man. He was under Satan's control. They had taken control of his life. And you see, the devil wants to do with people today, with men and women and young people today, what he did with this man in that day. He wants to take people completely over. He wants control of their life. Control of their life. He was domineered by the devil. But he was not only domineered by the devil, he was defeated by the devil. You see, there was a power within him which was greater than himself. There was an inner power that was driving him on. And he was living a life that had no pleasure. There was no pleasure in what he was doing. If you look at verse 5 in the chapter, it says this about him. He was always night and day. He was in the mountains and in the tombs crying and cutting himself with stones. That's where he was. And that's what he was doing. My, Satan had taken control of him to such an extent that he was living a life in which he had no pleasure in. No pleasure in. Yes. You know, friends, his whole life was out of control. And you know, we see that today all around us. See that today all around us. There's people today who have a drink problem. You know, when they started drinking, they enjoyed it. They enjoyed maybe going out to with their friends for, you know, a social drink, a pint at the pub or whatever. My, that's how it began. They began by enjoying it. And now they can't get free from it. They can't get rid of it. They're chained by it. They're addicted to it. There's no longer any pleasure in it. No longer any pleasure in it. People today, and you know they're addicted to nicotine. They can't get off the cigarettes or the nicotine or whatever. Can't get rid of it. And they'll tell you, no, we've tried so often. They've tried patches. They've tried this, that, and the other thing. They've tried to get off it, but it has a hold upon them. And it's destroying their lungs and affecting their heart and their health and all the rest of it. But now if you go down to the hospital, you see people with their dressing gowns and they're dripping and they're smoking their cigarettes. No pleasure in it. But they're chained by it. They're chained by it. See people today, friends, you know they're habitual gamblers. Habitual gamblers. Program on the television the other night there about gambling, and they interviewed a guy, and in the past 2 weeks he had gambled away, lost 32,000 quid. 32,000 over 2 weeks. And men are caught up with gambling to such an extent that they're prepared to sell the furniture in the house to get finances to gamble. They're prepared to make their wife do without and their children do without, because they're caught up, they're entangled, they're imprisoned, they're enchained by something which they no longer have any pleasure in. But Satan has taken over their life and their life is out of control. Then, of course, with the drugs. The drugs. I'm sure that when they first tried them, they got a great kick out of them, a great pleasure in them. But my dear friends, there's many young people tonight, maybe older as well. And they would steal from their granny to give them money to buy for another fix to meet their drug habit. And dear friends, there's people tonight and they're domineered by the devil. They're like this man in the story, and they're defeated by the devil. And they haven't the power to give these things up in their own strength. Haven't the power. And they're being destroyed by the devil. Being destroyed by the devil. He seeks to destroy and to bring misery into their lives. And here's a man before us here tonight, and he had lost his home because he lived in the mountains. He no longer lived at home. He lived in the mountains and in the tombs. And I believe that he had lost the fellowship of his family and his friends. Here's a man here tonight, and because the devil had taken over his life, he has lost his decency. He's running about naked in the tombs. He had lost his decency. He had lost his self-control, and he lived like a wild animal. And he had lost his peace and his purpose. His purpose for living. Satan robbed him of all these things. And we're seeing the destructive force of Satan at work in a life. And this is what Satan has done in so many lives and in so many people's lives and in so many families. And we see, as we look at this man, his hopelessness, his powerlessness and his helplessness. And Satan is out to destroy people's lives. But he's not only out to destroy their lives, he's out to destroy and to damn their souls. to take their souls to hell. That's what he's out to do. Yes. My dear friends, Satan people are being destroyed by sin and by Satan. And the power of hell is a force that's active in our world today. So here we see in this man that he was defeated by Satan. Satan sought to destroy him. But we find another force in his life, and that was society. And we find here in this story that society was seeking to have an influence on his life. Look at verse 3 and 4. It says, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, and no, not with chains." And it tells us there in verse 4, because he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. You know, society tried to take away the wildness out of him. They tried to do something with him. They tried to help him. Society tried to have a stabilizing effect upon his life. Society tried to put certain constraints upon him. Neither could any man tame him, it says. They could do nothing with him. In spite of all they tried to do, they tried to bind him, they tried to do this, that, and the other thing with him, but they could do nothing with him. And in today's world, and in the day in which we live, society seeks to have an influence on people's lives. They tell us, you know, if you put people in the proper environment and give them the things they need, then they'll not do these terrible things that they do. I would have to say to you tonight that man started in a perfect environment. God put Adam into a perfect environment. In fact, God put Adam into a sinless environment. But we find that man rebelled and sinned. And society can do many good things for people. I have no doubt about that. Think of charities, which are very good charities, and organizations which are there to help people as much as they can. We think of the Samaritans. I think that's a tremendous organization. We think of Dr. Bernardo's Homes. We think of so many Save the Children and War on Want and so many things. We think of so many Christian organizations that are there to try to help people to get back on their feet, to try to help them in lives and to do these things for them. But one thing that no society or organization can do is to solve the Satan problem or the sin problem. All that society, with all its good points and with all its noble organizations and all the rest of it, all that society can do for problem people is to isolate them. Put them under guard, or if necessity, bind them. But when they're released, they'll go out and commit the same crimes again. Society can do many things. Society can put new furniture in the house. Society can help them to educate them a little bit. Society can do a host of things for them. But society cannot change man's nature. They cannot change the man in here. They cannot change man's nature. And the church can't change it either. Dear friends, here's a man, and Satan seeks to destroy him. And society seeks to have an influence upon his life. And then we come to the third force that came into contact with him. And that's the Savior. And we find that he came to deliver him. He came to do what nobody else could do. He came to deliver him. My, we have seen what Satan did for this man. He brought him into misery. His life was full of misery. We see what society couldn't do for the man. It couldn't change him. What did Jesus Christ do for this man? He came in love to where he was. He came to save him. That's what he came to do. He came to save the man. Yes. And he even went through a storm to do it. And my, he went through that storm on Galilee. And when he came to where this man was, he cast the legion of demons out of the man through the power of his word. And he liberated him and set him free. And he not only did that, but he changed the man for the better. And he brought him back to his home and back to his family. Maybe he's even saved his marriage, I don't know. And he gave him peace and contentment. And he gave him a desire to serve the Lord. This is what Christ did for the man. It says there in verse 6, and when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. My, it was a great day when this poor creature came into contact with the Son of God, with the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Dear friends, he came in love to save your soul tonight. And in order to do for you what he did for this man, he went through a storm to save you. He went through the storm of Calvary. He went to the cross to pay the price of sin. And at Calvary, Jesus Christ met Satan head on. He met him head on. He went into his own domain and he faced him. Paul says in Colossians that he spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Why, he bruised the serpent's head. You know, when they took him captive at Pilate's hall as he came out of the Garden of Gethsemane, when they took him, Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. Down in the darkness of Golgotha, of that place called Calvary, may we find that God in love poured out his wrath upon his Son. And there on the cross, Jesus died for sinners like you and me. He died. And he endured the storm and rose again to be the Savior who has power to save and power to liberate and to set people free, not to bind them, but to set them free. And my dear friends, he can bring the prisoners tonight, those who are in the prison house of drink, those who are in the prison house of drugs, those who are in the prison house of these habits, he can bring them out of the prison house and give them a new life and a new freedom that they never had before. Yes, the man came to Christ, and this is what the Lord did for him. He saved him. And you and I were born in Satan's domain. We were born in the kingdom of darkness. We were born under his control. He seeks to domineer our lives, to bring us to destruction. He seeks to damn men and women for all eternity. My Satan cannot change you. It may help you in certain ways materially, but it cannot help you spiritually. My, there's a Savior, and he came to deliver men and women. He came to deliver souls. And he came to be your Savior. Dear friends, he came because you need him. Christ wouldn't let the storm beat him. He knew there was a man there who needed to be set free. And if you're here tonight, dear friend, he can bring freedom. He can bring peace. He can bring contentment to your life. This man found one that day in those tombs, in that mountain range. He met one who changed his life for the best and for the better. And that's what people out there in the world needs tonight. When we were in Scotland last week in the capital city, so many people out begging. Begging. In the capital city of Scotland. We had many of those that were begging. Sitting with their cigarette in their hand and their bottle of beer beside them, being destroyed and defiled, being domineered by the devil. But there's one tonight who defeated Satan. And there's one who can give you a better life and save your soul and give you peace and freedom and power and give you a life that's worth living. May God bless his word. We thank the Lord for this little story here that reveals to us the great power of Jesus Christ through the gospel. And that's why we're not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that will believe.